Agent Claw, our newest recruit. It's so great to finally meet you.
Well, thank you very much for having me here. I really respect your agency, and I want to be a part of it for so long.
I know you applied a few times, and the timing didn't work out, but now you're here, and I just want you to know that I did personally vouch for you.
I appreciate that, sir, and I will not disappoint you.
I also appreciate that you come from the Claw family and that now we have access to all the White Claw that we could possibly want. That is such a huge perk. Not the main reason, but it doesn't hurt.
Thank you. I want to contribute in any way I can.
Mm-hmm. I am curious because your name is spelled with a K, but White Claw's with a C. So,
well, that's so we can retain our anonymity, whatever, so no one knows who I am.
You gotta retain your manatees.
Yeah.
Young man, this is Clark from the Nerd Herd, IT tech from the local big box store. We've been having some issues with the surveillance system that he wanted to sit in to see if he can help us with that.
Well, it's very simple. It's quite a little upgrade from Windows Vista to Windows X5. Now, if I just take the XLR cord and hook it up to the HDMI cord and maybe like do a little pretzel knot, things should be working here in the next 15 minutes.
He's a genius. I have no idea what he just said. That's why we bring the experts in to solve the issues.
True story, I joined the Nerd Herd because a German Shepherd scared me into a Best Buy, and now I'm here.
Well, that's good to know.
Thank you.
And I did confirm the German Shepherd is dead.
Oh,
Germans.
Oh, my God. Wow. You guys are great. Not only an agency, you follow through on your promises and payments.
Oh, for sure. Speaking of geniuses.
And Germans.
The double G, we have Agent Boom Cannon.
Yes. Oh, that's what I'm doing. I'm undercover as an English person today. So we're going to call me Boom. I don't know.
Is this part of your assignment?
It's part of my assignment.
How is that assignment
going? It's going great. I love it.
Any intel to
share? No. Just lots of speaking with an English accent and just loving life like the English.
The English love life? I wasn't aware of that stereotype.
Well, stereotypes.
Hey, Agent Boom, I actually have a bunch of AC/DC, DC/CC, CD/DD transmitters for your mission.
They're not English. They're one of those other countries. What are they? I think they're Scottish or something. I don't know.
Forgive me.
No.
You're only here for the tech, not for your knowledge of rock and roll.
Okay.
No worries, my friend.
Exactly.
No worries.
Don't worry about that.
I admit the elements, but that's fine.
Now, I do need you to be aware. This is highly classified information you are privy to.
Okay.
And if any of it were to leak, I do have wiretaps in every single corner of your home.
Oh, God.
And the Best Buy in which you work.
Oh, God.
And I know the mother and father of the German Shepherd that we unfortunately had
don't
to dispose
of. Don't bring any dogs in this.
He'll get you. He'll get you.
No, please. Oh, my God.
So
he's a very powerful German Shepherd.
Enjoy your White Claw.
Thank you.
Take it in. Enjoy the bubbliness. That's what really gets to me, the seltzer. I love the seltzer.
I can just work in the corner. I promise I'll plug my ears and go la, 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 la to make sure I don't hear anything.
All right. So we've been having these issues with the surveillance agency.
Right.
Not the agency itself, but the surveillance system. You know, I love technology, but I don't get it. I'm not one of these millennials and their computers and their phones and their fandangled technology.
Fancy Walkmans.
Yeah, they're exactly. Well, I'm a VCR kind of guy, you know?
Yeah.
So what is going on? Why is this not working?
Well, it's simple. Honestly, you really have a rat's nest here with your cords. I mean, I just, let me do a couple of mixtures here. Like, I'm going to take out your HDMI 1 and plug it into the 3, and then I really just need you to kind of turn everything off and on. And then at the same time, I'm going to really just kind of take the paperclip and stick it into the antenna receiver here, like this. And now actually creating this U-shape actually has some kind of a Tesla function where the electricity and the magnetism will go into your television, and now your surveillance should be up, sir.
Wow. That actually sounds like it makes sense. I have no idea, again, what you said.
I think it might work.
It sounds like it would work. Good.
Well, I saw it on Net Geo, so it should work.
All right, well, let's give it a second. Let's turn it on and off real quick. Give it one moment.
Okay.
And we're back up. Wow. It wasn't doing this before.
No.
The shiny light is on. The shiny light wasn't on. I was told if it wasn't a maroon color, that it wasn't working. And now it's beige.
Okay.
Beige means go.
Yes, absolutely. Everyone that has the XL1500 knows that beige is oftentimes the signal that we're all good.
How much do you like working at Best Buy? I think we could find a spot for you here. What do you think, Agent Claw?
I think you need to keep him around.
You guys have an HSA and pay more than $8.50 an hour?
Oh. You drive a hard bargain there, buddy, but I think we can work something out.
Oh, hooray!
Well, I have a test for you.
Yes.
You can prove your worth to the surveillance agency. Yeah. We are funded by the taxpayers. Huh? Against our knowledge, of course, this is part of the black budget, but still taxpayer funded regardless. Hey, just because you have a British accent doesn't mean you can go crazy over there, buddy. Remember, you're not in England.
I'm not. Well, you know, it's all, you know. I can't think of an English phrase. It's all pit for pario, you know.
You are my subordinate. I love you, Boom Cannon.
Well, thank you. Feelings mutual.
But staying in your lane.
Quite so. Cheerio, mate. No problems. Bob's your uncle.
So, we've had the Prime Minister of an unnamed country. Because you're not privy to this information yet. But we do have the Prime Minister of this country. And they've been making some very alarming phone calls trying to get dirt on their political opponents. So this country has a very important re-election coming up.
Sounds like a real asshole.
You don't even know who it is yet. Just listen.
Okay.
That's part of the test.
My apologies.
Yes, remember this is taxpayer funded, and if this were to leak, you wouldn't want this prime minister destroying your life, now, would you?
And I don't
want
to lose my W-2. It's all I've got. All
right, then. So I suggest you listen. You have 2 eyes, 2 ears, 1 mouth. So you should watch and listen twice as much as you speak.
Oh, that's what that means.
That's a free lesson from Agent X. So, anyways, this prime minister, he's leading a very divided country, a very divided nation. There's a lot of hostility. There's a lot of divisiveness, which is exactly as designed. Divide and conquer works great, works beautifully. It helps keep everything in check so that we can get away with things such as surveilling everyone's cell phones. All right, so it's this country, okay? It's the prime minister of this country.
Okay.
He has been making some alarming phone calls. We have gotten whistleblower reports. He's been trying to reach out to the king of Wakanda.
Wow, my favorite country.
Yeah, Wakanda forever, baby.
Wakanda forever.
But what's alarming is he's digging for dirt. I don't know how true the dirt is. There's a possibility it may be true, but he's still digging very deep for dirt.
God.
And that is a huge conflict of interest because digging for dirt is our job, not his job. And I'm not for it. So what we want to do, now that you have fixed the COINTELPRO surveillance system, I'm going to boot in. Do you agree with this?
I agree with everything you're saying.
Do you agree with this, Agent Claw?
We need to know who is betraying us.
Exactly. And it'd be cool to find out what Wakanda's up to.
It's win-win.
Wakanda's great. I wish I worked for Wakanda. Do you think they're hiring? Never mind. That's neither here nor there. So we're going to tap in to Prime Minister Ronald Sachs's cell phone and listen in. Actually, it looks like he's calling Wakanda as we speak. So we're going to tap in. We're going to listen to his conversation, and we need to get to the bottom of exactly what it is he's looking for.
Yeah, let's nail this son of a gun.
All right. One moment so I can input the coordinates.
COINTELPRO surveillance feed booting in 3, 2, 1. System booted.
No, I don't care. Sprint's way, way better than Verizon. Believe me, that guy's still got a signal, okay, after all these years. Huh, wait. Oh, hello. Is this King T'Chuchu? Okay, believe me, best president ever, Ronald Sachs, great guy, love him. I need you to give me all the dirt on the illegal vibranium trade industry that's happening. Very sad, okay? Illegal vibranium trade happening from Joe Bundy's son, okay? He's my political adversary, not a very nice guy, but he's got great hair, okay? So I need you to give me all the dirt you can about his V-bad vibranium trade, all right? And believe me, I've been trying to call Ukraine. I called Hong Kong. They're full of phooey. Don't like them. Okay, not very good. But I really need your help here, all right? It's not very often I call countries in Australia, but I want to make sure that you have the absolute best dirt, because I only know the best and the brightest dirt, okay?
Sir?
Yes?
This is an Arby's.
What?
We got the meat.
Oh. Do you still have the 5 for 5, perchance?
System terminated.
Everyone, episode 17 is here. And that was Ronald Sachs himself. Wow. Our little show has grown that we now have Prime Minister Ronald Sachs on the show.
Big shots.
I'm totally kidding. That's not Ronald Sachs. Because Ronald Sachs isn't a real person. I wonder who Ronald Sachs is based on.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can't put my finger on it. But I can tell you who did play Ronald Sachs, the incredibly talented Mr. Minnelli himself.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Brock Lesnar. It's a pleasure to be here on COINTELPRO Podcast. I'm super excited. I've been wanting to be on for a while, and it gives me nothing but pleasure to poke fun at certain someone for his certain stakes in certain hotels.
So. I see. Your boy Rob thinks that I'm a huge Trump supporter, so I'm sure he would enjoy this episode very much.
I think he would too.
Jim, it's great having you.
Absolutely.
Last time, well, we hung out a few times since then, but the last episode of COINTELPRO was us celebrating the victory of Smart Babies at Cage Match. And then we told you that we were going to have a show against the Slumberjacks. And we lost. And guess who's in Slumberjacks? Right. This guy right here.
Yeah. I mean,
you're building bridges in building the bridges. Improv community.
I must say, if I had to lose, it was an honor to lose. This guy is funny. Did you see?
Yes,
it was nonstop.
Very. I was trying to keep my laughter from erupting.
I did too.
Thank you. Sometimes I have a white collar too. I tend to ramble, so I also don't want to completely ramble too much, because then it might turn from funny to old man rambling, and I don't want that to happen either.
I think you're perfectly fine. That was hilarious. The places your brain goes, the voices you do. I'm a fan.
That was a good Ronald.
Thank you.
Yes.
Very good,
thank
Ronald. I'm sensing a multi-time guest here. I can see several more appearances on the podcast.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I would be honored to be, even that I'm considered to be a multi-time guest is awesome.
It's the pleasure's ours, truly.
Now, I do have to say, I think this is the beginning of a wonderful Smart Babies or, no, I said that wrong. Crap. Smart Jacks or Slumber Babies mashup there. Because I think that what you failed to mention is, even though we became victorious, both of us absolutely destroyed the stage for that show. And you guys have a very funny and intelligent group of people with a bunch of new concepts. And I thought your show was awesome.
Thank you so much. I mean, any group that has me in it, is going to be of the highest quality. But it's so great of you to see that for yourself, so that exactly. I don't have to say. I try to be humble. I do my best.
I'll be a podcast hype man, man.
Speaking of humble, however, humble, lovely, creative, smart, intelligent, those are synonyms. We have the wonderful Nicole.
Hello. Thank you for having me again.
One of our other multi-time guests because, again, she's freaking awesome.
I appreciate that. I try my best.
We can tell. It yes. comes out.
Yes. In I don't have like super high energy, but I think I have a little something to bring.
You have just the right amount of energy that we need. Yeah. Speaking of super high energy. Yes.
I'm very high energy. I'm super high energy, guys.
I can tell.
Yeah. Thanks.
He's a multi-time. I mean, he's pretty much my unofficial co-host.
Yes, I'm out here constantly. Oh, yeah. I make all the, I go to all the, yeah, the shopping mall openings that you don't want to go to.
Yeah. And that's a true partnership right
that's
there.
True partnership.
He's my sound guy.
Yeah,
and the sound guy.
I was gonna say, how long have you been a pianist? Is that pianist? Pianist? How do you
say that? I don't like to talk about my pianist all the time because once I start talking about it, I can't stop. Trust me. But I've been ever since, I don't know. Oh, I've been tickling the ivories all my life.
All your life?
All my life, all my life.
What's the youngest age at which you started?
Oh, yeah. I think when I was, 4 or 5.
That's like when Mozart started.
Exactly. See?
Yes.
I could have been the next Mozart, but,
Did you have one of those Fisher Price pianos that you could, like, pull along with a string, or was it only the telephone they made with that?
I think it was a telephone.
Okay. Well,
but
maybe
yeah.
I'm confused with.
But yeah, they had a xylophone. Oh, they had a xylophone.
Oh, okay.
Or like
okay.
A glockenspiel thing. And that. And not only did I have one, I have two of those at home right now.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, they still work. They still work. They're good. But yeah.
Well, Jim here's a DJ, if you didn't know.
Oh, yeah?
What's the name of your business? Let's give you an early shout out. Normally we say plugs for the end, but let's give you a shout out now.
So I've been a DJ. I've been doing weddings for 5 years. I've been doing music for 10 years. I've been a drummer my whole life. My DJ name is Manila Wafer because my last name is Manelli, and I was like, how white can I get? But my business is Manila Wafer Productions. I actually have another wedding this Saturday, so I'll be out of town for that.
Manila Wafer Productions. If you're in the Columbus, Ohio area and you're looking for a DJ who has a great Ronald Sachs impersonation,
oh yeah,
look no further. You found him.
And he's not going to let your wedding reception be a snoozer.
No.
I can tell.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And he has very competitive rates.
Absolutely. I'm always willing to negotiate as long as it still gets me that bread, as the kids say.
Yeah. Well, let's talk more about...
bread.
About bread, yes. But besides the bread, I want to hear more about the Slumberjack. So Rob, who was back on episode, God, I don't even remember at this point, like episode 10.
Okay.
Rob was in class with me. Rob is awesome.
Yeah.
And it makes sense that his teammate would be awesome as well. Awesome people tend to gravitate to other awesome people.
Thank you, thank you.
But tell me more about how the Slumberjacks came together, about you guys performing, how you guys assembled like Voltron to kick our butts.
Well, the Voltron thing was just really kind of impromptu. We had watched actually a lot of Michael Bay films and thought, hey, Transformers, Voltron, let's see if we can channel that energy for stage. But what really happened is there is a meetup for improv, and I took a class this winter. I took a class with improv legend Jeff Gage. If you haven't taken his classes, I'll plug them. They're wonderful. They're awesome. I met a lot of great people through that. And that led me to Meetup, where I met Rob, and he kind of just saw me act a couple times and was like, hey, are you a free agent? Are you doing anything? Because Slumberjacks is really Rob's baby.
Mm-hmm.
That was what he came up with. And then he pretty much grabbed me from Meetup. He grabbed Eric from Meetup. And then the other guy, Joe, he is one of Rob's close friends from college, who is also hilarious. And the funny thing about him, the guy that did the Robin impersonation on stage, he's never taken a improv class. Can you believe that?
Ever.
He's hilarious. And so Rob has just kind of put all these us together, and he almost said it was kind of like him doing improv fantasy football, and he just wanted to build a team, and that's just what's been going on. He's been a great marketer. And he's just kind of getting us gigs here and there. So
We've had a we got another show coming up possibly in the next 2 weeks.
Where's that going to be at?
The one for sure, we're going to be in Improv Wars at Mad Lab on November the 5th. But the next one, we may have one sooner in the works. It's not confirmed yet, so I probably won't talk about that too much.
Well, you can let us know. Maybe you'll be on before then. Who knows? And let us know when that show is. Oh, yeah. So Jim here is actually who got us connected. Well, we knew Joel Savage already, but he kind of opened those channels again. And Smart Babies is going to be, fingers crossed, part of Improv Wars starting in January.
Oh, it's confirmed. He's got you with the graphic up there. He's got the commissioner up. And
I'll be there.
So it's confirmed. I hate that Triple H is the commissioner. I have a deep-rooted hate for Triple H, but whatever.
Well, they're trying to get... Savage Tech has a very special guy. They want to be commissioner. His name is Dick Justice. And Dick Justice...
Only kind of justice I like.
Exactly. We're all looking for Dick Justice.
We're all looking for Dick Justice. And so far, he's nowhere to be found.
No.
But I think that he'll show up sooner or later and kick Triple H's ass and get him out of there.
I'm totally down to see a dick smack Triple H in the face.
Oh, whoa. That's a dick that's smack. Pretty
I
graphic.
Don't know if I'm ready for it.
I don't know if I'm ready for that image right now.
Hey, don't talk about Dick Justice that way. Yeah. His real name is Richard. Okay, is that better? I would like to see Richard smack Triple H in the face.
It'll be a long smack of the law.
With his dick.
So, let's go into the show that I have for us. And you said you weren't sure what the setup was, but that you were ready for it.
Yeah, well, I'm always ready for anything, but then I'll slowly have 20/20 hindsight and be like, oh God, did I say all that? Do I still have my job?
I guess we'll see.
Let's find out. But I am ready for it.
The good thing is that due to our partnership with the Claw family, we do have a large supply of White Claw available.
Beautiful.
If you couldn't tell by my slurred speech. All right. So what I have here is a news clip, which I will play. I won't even intro the news clip. But it's something that's happened very recently. Actually, I will intro it. Amber Geiger. The Dallas cop.
I remember her.
Yeah. She was sentenced recently for the murder of a black man in his home apartment. Now, she claims that she parked on the wrong floor, went into the apartment. There was an interaction where she was under the impression that it was her apartment, and she shot him in the chest. She admitted in her testimony that she did shoot to kill. The only point of contention was the fact that she felt she was in her apartment. So I want to play this clip just in case you guys aren't aware of this story or our listeners who aren't aware, which I'm sure they are.
About 5 hours of jury deliberations led to this moment.
We, the jury, unanimously find the defendant, Amber Geiger, guilty of murder as charged in the indictment.
The family of the man Amber Geiger shot erupted in cheers, but the former Dallas police officer sat silent. The dramatic verdict capped a trial that had captivated the country.
I ask God for forgiveness. I hate myself every single day.
Geiger had claimed she feared for her life when she killed her unarmed neighbor, Botham Jean, mistaking him for a burglar in her apartment. Turns out she'd accidentally barged in on his unlocked apartment on the wrong floor.
It's a sad reality that this community waited on pins and needles to decide whether or not someone could be held guilty for killing an unarmed black man in his home while eating ice cream.
During closing arguments, Geiger's attorneys had brought up Texas's so-called castle doctrine, similar to stand-your-ground laws in other states, which allows someone to use deadly force against an intruder in self-defense.
Why is it absurd to apply the castle doctrine in this case?
Because there was just so many instances, as the prosecutors argued, that she knew or should have known that she was not in her apartment.
Perhaps the trial's key moment was when Geiger was cross-examined and pressed on her intent at the time.
When you aimed and pulled the trigger at Mr. Jean, shooting him in center mass exactly where you are trained, you intended to kill Mr. Jean.
I did.
Late today, during sentencing, Jean's mother took the stand.
My life has not been the same. It's just been the most terrible time for me.
Sentencing is expected to resume here tomorrow morning. Amber Geiger was just booked into jail a short time ago. She faces up to 99 years in prison. Botham John would have turned 28 this week.
Hey, NBC News fans, thanks for checking out our YouTube channel. Subscribe by clicking on that button down here.
I had to leave that plug in there for him. You know.
I will never click that subscribe button, NBC. Yeah,
it's up to you guys if you want to, but shout out to them for providing the audio. This is a very interesting story. It's very relevant. Mm. It has all of the factors that we love in the news story here. A cop was actually brought to justice. She was found guilty. It's kind of absurd in to some degree that it was ever in question. It's kind of scary.
Didn't she only get 10 years, though?
Yes. That,
yeah.
We were going to go to that next. She did get 10 years. Only 10 years, and I believe she's eligible for probation and five.
Based. So she'll be out in three.
Parole.
Right. Parole. She's a bit,
But the good thing is, though, is that I think... Like,
is your mic working?
Is this mic working?
No.
I don't think this mic's working. There we go. I think the bad thing. Well, the good thing is, I think it's like when you're a cop and you go to jail, they beat the crap out of you.
That too.
So she'll get some street justice.
But I would like to know, like, if the situation were reversed, I don't think there would be any question.
That guy would be in life, be jail for life.
So I guess I have a question. Are we considering? Do you consider at all that the story is true, that she genuinely went in the wrong apartment and out of fear that there was an intruder in her apartment, shot him?
I don't know enough about it, but it wasn't like she was really tired, like she worked a double or something like that?
Apparently
that's the
she
story.
Worked like 15 hours.
Okay, but... there was some kind of drug or alcohol issue involved in that.
I would agree. I mean, no matter how tired you are, if someone was kind of sitting in, I mean, granted, I don't have a gun on me at the same time, but if I walked in and saw someone in my house, my first reaction would be kind of to step back and process it. Before I just went out and shot
And
somebody.
I'd probably run away and call the cops.
Yeah.
Before going any further.
Yeah, me too.
Now,
I would look around to see if like any of the decorations or the room design was what I chose. And then it'd be like, that's not the couch. I would never buy that couch. I must be in the wrong apartment.
Like,
put the gun away.
Make sure your Bon Jovi poster
exactly, is there. Exactly. If I don't see that Bon Jovi poster, you're dead.
It definitely is a weird story, and I did read reports that someone heard loud knocking on the door even before going in, which kind of goes against her story that she just happened to walk in and the door was ajar. I don't want to speculate too much. I wasn't there. There's things that happen like afterwards. I believe she called her partner before calling anyone. Mm. And then there was some sort of cleanup that happened. Some texts were deleted. So there were some things that went down.
Whoa.
Interesting, because I had heard that there was a lot more than what we've all heard. And I heard that they knew each other and that there was other elements to the story. And then there's that thing where that key witness got killed like yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just was doing research. I'm trying to help.
Apparently someone actually recorded her pacing back and forth. So in the pacing, they did record her saying, I went in the wrong apartment. So some element of it might be true. They did record her saying that. It's still, even if it was a genuine mistake, the cover-up that happened afterwards, I heard there was some intimidation of some witnesses. But before we even get any further as far as that story, I do have a question regarding this thing that happened where the victim's brother in court gave Amber a hug. and told her that he loves the person that she is and that he doesn't want to see her go to jail. This action caused a lot of discussion, a lot of debate. So I want to play a clip regarding that. We'll hear a little bit of what he said, and then we will reconvene and discuss that. So let's play that.
I'm not going to say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't going to ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
So, there's a lot to unpack there.
First of all, I want to go on record before we say anything else. And if I ever get shot by a cop, I want you all to seek revenge. Fuck that cop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will never say that. Don't ever forgive them.
Well, good to know. I see why people are upset that happened. As a man of color, knowing the history and the treatment that Black people in this country and other people of color have received, I get why it's insulting, this idea of like forgiving the white oppressor in this situation, the white murderer of his brother. I can see why some people are upset. The other side of the coin for me is that's his brother. He's a victim of this crime. He's really hurting. If part of his process is to forgive her for his own personal reasons, I don't want to judge him too harshly. I don't want to put myself on the soapbox where I'm going to look down on him and the decision that he made. Would I make the same decision were it my brother? It's highly unlikely that I would. I don't see myself doing it. He had his own reasons why he felt he needed to do that for his own sanity, for his own spirituality, whatever his reason, I don't think it's my place to judge him for that. But what are you guys' thoughts? What do you feel?
My thoughts are grief causes a lot of different actions and feelings. And I don't know his background. I don't know. He's definitely very forgiving. I mean, this is pretty fresh.
Almost he mentioned Christianity. Yeah. He did mention, you know, her giving her life to Christ.
Yeah. I don't know. I know if I were in that situation, I probably wouldn't. I can understand the empathy point of view. Her life is over. Maybe. And I've been there in terms of, I've never lost someone to like violent crime. So it's hard for me to say, like, I can't judge. That's the thing.
I almost wonder, but this is the world we live in. I almost wonder if he's like, these are the cops in my neighborhood.
Oh,
this
good
is
point.
Where I live.
And
they know
my
brother. They know everything. Yeah,
my friend's going to get
killed,
probably.
For example, if you were like a Jewish person in Nazi Germany, you'd be like, I forgive you. You did the best you could. Just don't look at my apartment. Just don't bother me. I'm
directions.
So sorry. And that's what I almost felt like. I was like, oh, this guy's just playing the game, which is unfortunate that he's been forced to do that. Because he should be able to say, fuck you, bitch, you killed my brother. But instead, he's got to be like, oh, yeah, no, you're great. And meanwhile, he's like, just don't bother me, please.
I'm the conspiracy theorist of the bunch. I think he meant it. And wow. I think he views it from the lens just of Christianity. It seems to be something that Christianity.
That's kind of espouses. What I was going to go on to is I actually did feel like he meant it, and I was going to address the strength of this person because, like we talked about, I mean, a white on black murder is, especially if it is in the situation that it was in this case. I mean, this young man. I don't know if it was grief or something, but for him to stand there, it's every human being's normal thought to just lash out and absolutely berate their oppressor or someone that's hurt them. But just the strength from this young man to just kind of sit back and for whatever reason, whether it was God, whether it was grief, whether it was whatever, I mean, I think that just takes a really strong human being.
I agree. It does take some strength. So, for example, and I feel it's a theme that's discussed a lot in art in general, just the vindictiveness and that idea of revenge and getting back. Even Avengers Endgame talked about that with Hawkeye's character in that movie. Spoilers, it's been out for months, but after his family gets, you know, snapped away. He goes on like this murderous rage where he's just killing all these gangsters and people he considers to be bad. Mm-hmm. And at some point, Black Widow tells him like, no amount of killing is going to bring your family back.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's almost this idea that we push as a society of revenge and getting that due, like blood for blood, eye for an eye. And it does take some strength to be able to say, I don't wish you any ill will. I guess he felt that it was a genuine mistake that she made. I think what makes people uncomfortable is there's this history of Christianity being hand in hand with racism. I mean, the KKK were Christians. They would put burning crosses on your lawn.
Exactly.
Native Americans were forced to take on Christianity. A lot of people that are being oppressed by white Christians have to take on the mantle of Christianity. So having that philosophy.
Africans that were brought over to America were forced into Christianity.
Exactly. But at the same time, a lot of them did find strength in that Christianity, even during those trying times. So it's a bit of a complicated subject to juggle. There's people who are just upset, like, oh, fuck that Christianity shit, that forgiveness shit. And there's other people who feel their strength in not putting that energy, because to some degree, having that hate in your heart only affects you.
It only really hurts you in the long run. It really does. Yeah. But I can see Mike's point, because look what happened to the witness.
Yeah, let's. That's the second spoiler now, so we might as well play. Yeah. Let me prep this clip, because this is actually disturbing. So a key witness of this trial, he was actually the next door neighbor, and he looked through the peephole and he testified that he saw what happened, that he heard a lot of what happened. And that was actually his first day meeting Botham. He met him that same day that he was killed. He was brave in testifying. He even broke down in tears while testifying at some point. He was scared to testify because, again, you're testifying against a police officer. And as much as I've always laughed when police say, oh, don't listen to there's no snitch policy on the streets, you know, report things that happen, they operate under the exact same philosophy. And that's something that I've always found that ironic, especially from the conservatives and Republicans and the GOP, that they claim to be the party of smaller government, but they're also the party of cops, when cops are policy enforcers. They enforced government laws and regulation and big government. I always thought that was a weird dichotomy that existed there. But enough of me rambling. Let's go ahead and play that clip.
A key witness in the murder trial against now convicted former Dallas police officer Amber Geiger was shot and killed Friday night. Officials have not yet announced the man's identity, but an attorney for the family of Botham Jean, the man murdered by Geiger, confirms the victim was this young man, Joshua Brown. He was the neighbor who testified that he heard the confrontation between Geiger and John, as well as hearing the gunshots. CNN's Paula Sandoval is following the developments for us now.
Before his murder on Friday, Joshua Brown made headlines as a key witness to the trial of Dallas officer Amber Geiger.
So my apartment was right here. I could reach over. You know, both apartments probably like directly across from mine.
Last week, Geiger was convicted of killing Botham Jean after walking into his apartment in 2018. She claimed to have mistaken his apartment for hers and thought he was an intruder. On the witness stand, 10 days before his own shooting death outside his home, Brown testified he heard the shots and saw Geiger outside his apartment. Brown got emotional, recounting hearing his neighbor's voice from time to time. Lee Merritt, a civil rights attorney representing the Jean family, said on social media Brown lived in constant fear of gun violence and that his death, quote, underscores the reality of the black experience in America. Merritt also said Brown deserves the same justice that he sought to ensure for the Jean family. Investigators have released few details on Brown's death, only that witnesses heard gunshots and that they observed a silver four-door sedan speeding away from the scene. Police have not said if the murder is in any way connected to the Geiger proceedings.
And Dallas police continue to investigate Brown's death. They are hoping that somebody who potentially saw something or heard something will actually reach out to them.
All right, so the key witness was shot dead on Friday. So roughly 10 days after his testimony. What do you guys think about that?
That's fishy.
It smells bad.
It does smell pretty bad.
Real bad.
What bothers me is I have people who question me on being a conspiracy theorist. And I share comments like this on Facebook all the time, and they go largely ignored, which is an observation that I've made. I don't know if it's the people themselves or it might be the Facebook algorithm giving less exposure to controversial ideas. But combine this, not to bring up Epstein again, but Epstein ends up dead. Actually, that's the episode Rob was on. Epstein ends up dead in prison when he's connected to these high-ranking politicians. He ends up dead before he's able to testify. Here we have a situation where the guy did testify and he ends up killed about 10 days later. To me, it's very hard to assume that it's not related. This is almost like...
It's like a freak coincidence. I would agree. Like it's almost kind of like a mobster intimidation tactic.
That's what's interesting too about this, which I don't know. It's like that, like that neighbor. I don't know. I've known cops, I guess, and like they. I don't know. I should say I live in like a shitty apartment, and I live above like a crack dealer, and yeah. I live in like I. There's all sorts of things with this apartment, so I don't come from some hoity-toity fancy place. I'm surprised a cop would live with like so much
point.
Of the elements that she was around, because cops I know who...
They don't live in the city
they
patrol.
Yeah, no, and they tend to be kind of dicks. I hate to say it like that. I mean, no, like one of them's like a close friend. He's almost like an uncle or whatever, but I think he was like, oh, I'm so sick of like people lying to me, because everyone lies to cops. You get pulled over for speeding, and the first thing they say is, I wasn't speeding, or I didn't know I was speeding, or da-da-da. And they just get so sick of it that there's this attitude. And the fact that she lived in that building seemed suspicious to me.
So do you guys remember the movie Crash? Did you guys watch the movie Crash? Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
So in that movie, it really resonated with me because there's two cops. One cop is like a blatant racist. And then later on in the movie, he ends up sacrificing himself to save... a black woman that was about to blow up in an explosion on a car that was on fire. Earlier in the movie, his partner, who was a young cop, called him out for treating the people they arrested. He was being racist towards them. He called them out, and he got scolded for it, for speaking out against the system. But later on in the movie, he picks up a young black man, and they get kind of a heated conversation what he perceives to be a heated conversation. And the young black dude that he picked up has like this Virgin Mary statue that he carries with him. And he noticed that the cop had the same one. And he was going to pull his out of his chest to show the cop, like, hey, you know, that's what a coincidence. But when he reached in for his jacket, the cop shot him. And this is the cop that earlier in the movie they had shown to be progressive, mm-hmm. to not like racism. And that movie spoke to me because I'm like, that's what true racism is. It's not being blatant or saying certain things, but it's in that moment. Mm-hmm. All you saw was, wow, this guy's about to kill me, even though that's not what was happening at all. And he ended up burning the car with the guy in it and everything. Like, it was a very interesting movie. And it kind of reminds me of this case in that I don't believe she went in there with the intent of killing him. I think she genuinely thought, oh, wow, this black guy's in my apartment. And just like in that movie, when the cop pulled out the statue, when he was going to pull out the statue, he's like, no, he's going to shoot me, and killed him dead right then and there. That innate racism, that fear of this person of color kicked in and led to him dying. I've met a lot of cops. I've actually had decent experiences with cops for the most part. I always say it's because I wear glasses or I come off like a square.
Might be true, yeah.
Honestly, I see why Superman uses it as a costume. People just assume you're a fucking nerd. And oh, you're harmless.
You're not going to fight because you don't want to break your glasses.
But my brother, who looks just like me, his interactions with cops haven't been nearly as pleasant. But I guess the overarching point I wanted to make is, even though there's good cops, at some point you have to question the system as a whole that they're representing. There's some element of mob ties to it. There's some element of corruption that's just innate in a system where you're kind of above the law with other people who are above the law. And it's a self-protecting system where anybody who questions that system kind of gets persecuted and attacked and shunned.
Exactly. Well, I was going to say, it's like it also draws the kind of personality that, like, if you're the kind of person that likes to see all sides of things and likes to, you know, kind of like I don't know, be not less aggressive, I guess. Cops, they tend to appeal to like sociopaths who can do things without worrying about the consequences. They can shoot a guy who pulls a gun on them and not be like, oh God, what if, did I make the right choice? He might have missed me. What have I done? It's like, no, he was a criminal. I killed him.
I think it's even, maybe it does draw a certain personality type, but I think the system itself, regardless of your personality type, eventually it kind of molds you into a certain way. So I think I'm kind of a hard ass as a parent. I'll admit it here. I'm kind of a hard ass. I hate when my children question my authority.
Ooh.
I think that same thing happens with cops. You have this level of authority, and now they're the parent and you're the child, and you question their authority, and they want to lord that authority over you. How dare you question me? And it triggers them into aggressiveness and rage. And then you mix in maybe those personality types you're talking about, or maybe you mix in certain beliefs about a black person or a person
or
of
color. Both.
Well, I've seen how the cops treat people differently. I lived in the Hilltop for 15 years, and I had a neighbor, and they were white, and the cops were there probably once a week. It was just a regular thing. He would yell from the porch. He would threaten them from his front porch. He would, I mean, just a lot of like behaviors that if he were person of color, I don't believe he would have gotten away with.
I agree with you 100%.
Oh yeah, I would totally.
And there is this thing in the neighborhood, you don't want to snitch because also it's going to come back on you from other people. Like, there is street justice, and I've been a recipient of it, and it's not pleasant.
And this is from the cops?
No, this is from other people that live.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they kind of, it's street justice, but cops operate under that same street justice. And some people think that's what happened with this young man. He spoke up.
Yeah.
He testified, and they're sending a warning shot to everybody else. Like, hey, be careful who you testify against. Yeah, she got sent to jail, which normally doesn't happen to cops. make sure next time.
That's like a clear
cops
message.
Usually can't get indicted, period. Even, you know.
There's all sorts of things they can do. I mean, not to say, but yeah, they're, yeah, cops. Like I used to know a lot of cops, and they were not what I would. I mean, they were cool. They were cool to hang out with, but
I think it's also changed the police in general has changed because you have a lot of people who have traditionally you have military people become security officers like TSA or
that's what I'm
police
talking about,
officers,
like with the
state troopers.
You're not getting liberal arts students becoming
yes.
cops.
And when you have someone who's been in a literal war zone and given that authority to shoot, to kill, they're used to it.
I mean, that's true. There's a lot of conditioning that comes with that.
And then there's also that sense that, like, everyone is against you. Like, we were saying, like, when you pull somebody over, the first thing they say is, oh, I didn't know I was speeding. It's like, everyone's lying to you. Like, you are literally fighting everybody.
I've known criminals, drug dealers, and people who've said openly, like, oh, you know, I want to be a cop. And it was almost like this idea, like, I want to be part of the boys club.
Be protected.
I want to be on the inside. Not because of a sense of duty or justice, but it's almost like I want to be part of that team that gets to get away with shit.
Well, it exists. I don't know if you remember. It was when de Blasio, I think, got elected as mayor of New York. And I forget what, I'm not sure which, because they've, you know, they had Eric Garner and a couple other things. But it was a very powerful image. And video, they have de Blasio addressing the police department and they all turn their backs on the mayor. And that's the type of, and all
and
of
he's
them.
Their leader.
Yes. He's their boss.
But that says a lot. It's about, I guess, I don't know how far into the weeds I want to go with it, but when you have Colin Kaepernick, you know, kneeling regarding these things, it's definitely true, but I don't even know. A lot of it is definitely race based, but I think in general, just the idea, it's almost like an us versus them mentality. Yeah. But you're absolutely right. I remember once talking to a security guard at work who says, "Well, we were drunk downtown and I walked up to this cop car and I like smacked my hand on the hood and then I was like yelling at the cop." And he was laughing. I was like, well, there goes white privilege. Because guess what? I wouldn't do that shit.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, not recommended.
I wouldn't have the balls to even do that. When they pull me over, the first thing I do is drop my phone wherever. I don't care. I'm dropping it. I put my hands on the steering wheel. And even to reach for my wallet to show my ID, I let them know I'm reaching for my wallet. Is that okay? Yeah. Ask for permission. I kind of feel like a bitch doing it.
Hey, that's what you gotta do.
When I get pulled, not like I get pulled over a lot, when I have gotten pulled over, I keep both hands on 10 and 2. And I don't reach for anything until I ask them.
For sure.
You know.
So, what are your thoughts, Jim?
Well, this is a very, very hot topic, obviously. And, I mean, I have family members that are police members. They are good-hearted people. Mm-hmm. They definitely do not want to ever judge anybody off race. So, is the system broken? Absolutely, yes. But I don't think that we can generalize against all police officers. I think we need to take a look at the system and say, hey, how are we going to change people that we're going to recruit? How are we going to change to have our force see the community in a different light? How are we going to partner with the community so that these types of things don't happen again? It's a travesty, and I hate that we're talking about it again because it keeps happening again and again and again, and there's not a lot that's being actively done to do it. So I think that we need to use these examples of things that are kind of considered where, well, that's kind of fishy. The witness just died a couple of days ago. I'd like to see that investigation investigated a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you're absolutely right. It's very hard to just blame the individuals. But even think about Nazi Germany. In hindsight, it's easy to look back and say, oh, well, they were all assholes, but chances are they probably weren't. They were family people, loved their kids, loved their community. But at some point within the system, it's like the people who question the system get shunned by other people within the system.
Yeah.
Or they've done experiments, for example, where, and I don't want to quote this since it's been a while since I read about it, but where they have like prison guards and prisoners, and you allow, it's almost like you set up slowly raising the stakes of what they're able to do. And they prove psychologically like that regular people go really far
when real given, bad real quickly,
really yeah. quickly when given a certain amount of power. And again, I think that's comes from the system. If you develop a culture where those people can call a cop out and be like, hey, this is going on, and then there's some sort of accountability that happens from even outside of the force, I think it would change a lot of things. You're absolutely right that it's something systemic. And that's why I mentioned I've had mostly pleasant experience with police officers. I've had some wonderful experiences where they were heartfelt and touching to me. So I've never been one to just want to throw a blanket statement, oh, they're all garbage, they're all this.
No.
But at some point, when the system is corrupt, it's very hard for even the good parts of that. Like, if you get cancer, it's really hard to protect even the good parts of your body. Mm-hmm. Eventually, it starts manifesting and growing. So shout out to your family for being good cops, for Thank the you. Work that they do. It's definitely some brave work that I couldn't do. And as much shit that some people may talk about cops, when shit goes down, their first instinct is to be like, hey, I want to call the cops. So they deserve some level of freaking credit.
Well, yeah, because that. They never Sometimes. Know what situation
you're going to walk into.
I don't call the cops when things go bad in my
Like at all?
But no.
I had a friend.
My girlfriend's like, should we call the cops? I was like, that's just going to, they're going to have like a witness. They're going to know that we told on them. No. Just let the gunshots go. We don't care. Stay away from the windows.
I had a friend over 20 years. I mean, this is a long time ago, but her father was a Columbus police officer, and he would patrol, like, stay in the banks.
Mm-hmm.
And he got shot in the line of duty, like, because a guy was robbing, and he was doing whatever he could not to, you know, shoot to kill. But, mm-hmm. And the guy shot him first. So they never know what they're walking into.
Well, that, for sure.
That could be another thing, too, though. I mean, I have to get all, like, whatever. But society's become much more violent.
Yes.
And the roles of police officers have sort of changed. It used to be they were part of the community, and they were not just there to
they
bust
They lived on
us.
Your street.
Yeah, and that's something, too. That's something that was a big deal in Detroit was you had to live in the city if you wanted to be a Detroit cop. And then they changed that rule, and then that changed a lot of things. And that's the thing. You were part of your community, and that was the idea, is that, I mean, it sounds hokey, but it was almost like Andy Griffith. You knew these people. You knew that this guy was a drunk, and you knew he was okay. He was just a little tipsy or whatever. You know what I mean? And those days are gone. Now he's a drunk. He's a threat. Pull out the guns.
I think that's why a lot of people like the show The Wire. Yeah. I feel like they had a really realistic view of cops, and it wasn't like, oh, cops are bad or criminals are all bad. It's like, it's really nuanced,
mm-hmm.
the things that they're dealing with.
Yeah.
And something that you said, and then I'm going to pass it to Jim, that stood out is, and I don't know if a lot of people capture this, but the problem, besides them not being part of the community, is that then they work in the city, and then they take that money outside of the city. Mm-hmm. So they don't live there. They're not paying property taxes. So they're taking taxpayer money and then not contributing back to
the
community.
And they're sending their kids to a school somewhere else.
And then the schools go to shit, mm-hmm. and then it creates a cycle of poverty. What were you gonna say, Jim?
I
thought you had a thought.
It better be really serious and not lighthearted.
Well,
no jokes.
It gets heavy on COINTELPRO.
Yes, it does. It's kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. But I didn't really have anything to add, to be honest. I kind of was just inquiring and listening. But yeah.
All right. So we're gonna take a quick breather, a quick little hiatus. So we can take a bio break, and we will be right back. Listen to these ads. dads. They helped me make a few cents so that I can pay Shotgun Mike and White Claws for his great pianist.
Yes, my pianist is great.
And we are back, close to wrapping up. So on the subject of big government and authoritarianism, something interesting happened with the National Basketball Association. So there are protests happening in Hong Kong right now. Protesters are protesting the Chinese government. And I'm a huge NBA fan. I don't know if you guys know this, but Daryl Morey, who's the general manager of the Rockets, sent out a tweet saying that he stands with the people of Hong Kong and for a free Hong Kong. This triggered a shitstorm that I have never seen as far as the National Basketball Association. It just started. The repercussions of this are probably going to be huge, so I want to play that clip.
Controversy brewing tonight after the Houston Rockets general manager tweeted about ongoing protest in Hong Kong.
Yeah, this is new video of the pro-democracy demonstrators. In a since-deleted tweet, Daryl Morey said, quote, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong." Sally Mamdu is live at the Chinese consulate, who's commenting about that tweet. Sally?
Jonathan, it was supposed to be the Houston Rockets general manager just sharing his views, speaking his mind, but in China, politics and basketball just don't mix. "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong," tweeted by Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey, has caused an uproar in China. The tweet has since been deleted, but that hasn't erased China's backlash. The Chinese consulate in Houston released this statement Sunday saying, in part, "We have lodged representations and expressed strong dissatisfaction with the Houston Rockets and urged the latter to correct the error and take immediate concrete measures to eliminate the adverse impact." Another wave of discontent in China is from the Chinese Basketball Association, chaired by a very familiar face to Houston, former Rockets star Yao Ming, who played eight seasons here before retiring in 2011. His statement via Twitter read in part, "The Chinese Basketball Association strongly disagrees with the improper remarks from Daryl Morey and has decided to suspend exchanges and cooperation with the team." The Rockets responded through a tweet Saturday from team owner Tillman Fertitta saying, quote, "Listen, Daryl Morey doesn't speak for the Houston Rockets. Our presence in Tokyo is all about the promotion of the NBA internationally, and we are not a political organization."
Be stronger going into the playoffs.
After a day of silence, Morey, the man behind the controversial tweet, reacted to the uproar in a series of tweets, in part saying, quote, "I have always appreciated the significant support our Chinese fans and sponsors have provided, and I would hope that those who are upset will know that offending or misunderstanding them was not my intention. My tweets are my own and in no way represent the Rockets or the NBA." And the question remains, will this tweet cost Daryl Morey his job? Well, the National Basketball League released a statement just a few hours ago saying, quote, "The values of the league support individuals educating themselves and sharing their views on matters important to them. We have great respect for the history and culture of China and hope that sports and the NBA can be used as a unifying force to bridge cultural divides and bring people together." We're live in Houston. Sally Mamdou, K. Piercy, Channel 2.
Sally, thank you.
All right, so I thought that was a very interesting story. Yeah. It has a lot of layers to it. Any thoughts from you guys?
Well, I think it's kind of ridiculous that the NBA is sort of kind of staying more towards the side of money and their financial interests in China than supporting free speech and democracy. That, to me, is kind of interesting. I mean, I think they should kind of get behind their owner and say,
well, the owner's the one that's backing away. So the general manager made this tweet, but the owner himself was like, oh no, okay, we're not political.
Oh, that I misspoke. The owner is definitely doing the same thing that owners always do by saying, hey, we want to keep our cheddar cheese in China, so we're going to stay out of this. But I think that that was a good tweet by the general manager. Obviously, the people feel like they need a change in government from the communist government of China right now. And I mean, I really haven't been following the protests in Hong Kong that much, but I think that I've seen maybe like one news story on it. The protesters are kind of getting battered by the Chinese police. Communism is very brutal. They're not really letting those people have a voice. So I'm for the tweets of what the GM said.
Yeah. What do you think? I think it's just all bullshit. The thing is this. The guy said, the general manager says something, which I agree with. What it is in Hong Kong. Hong Kong is sort of separate from China. They have their different industry.
The British took Hong Kong before and gave it back.
Yeah.
It's like and the Western.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have like a different kind of, even like a different government kind of. And that's kind of, China's now kind of encroaching on them and they're rebelling against it. This protest has been going on for months now. And it's like, the thing that I find interesting is one guy who I agree with speaks up and says, yeah, Hong Kong, keep on going or whatever. Then, so people who are don't have a clue what's going on, they're going to hear one guy spoke up, China spoke against him, the NBA spoke against him, now he's walking it back. It almost puts China, the Chinese government, into the victor role already. And
charge of the NBA,
too. Well, the NBA all the protests.
Is kind of paying the consequences now for dealing with freaking the government of China, a very oppressive authoritarian government. Reminds me of WWE with Saudi Arabia. They're having all these shows in Saudi Arabia. At some point, there's going to be some repercussions. I mean, there was when they killed that journalist. They had a pay-per-view like a week or two afterwards in Saudi Arabia. Then the Nets owner, who's Chinese, and he's the majority owner of the New Jersey Nets, put out this whole Facebook message pretty much throwing Daryl Morey under the bus and saying, oh, well, the Chinese people just are really sensitive to the subject of separatism. I don't know if you guys know this. The United States was kind of a separatist movement. We were part of England, and we rebelled, and we're
Wait
a separatist
a minute.
Movement.
What?
Are you sure about that? I think we're still part of England.
I think you hit the nail on the head as far as the idea that China has that much control that our country, which is based on, had he said, you know, the United States and what Trump is doing is wrong, there would be no real consequences. But now you're answering to this foreign government.
It's pretty sketchy.
They have one of the largest emerging middle classes in history. That's where it's all about money. It really is. It's about the money and the dollars, and everyone is going there to grab as a money grab.
I wonder how much NBA materials like jerseys and shirts and swag and shoes are made in China.
It's made there.
Definitely a sizable amount.
Oh, and there's a lot of counterfeiting. They're known. They're great counterfeiters.
I buy all my counterfeit jerseys from China.
Innovation is not encouraged in this type of government.
So something else I found just incredibly interesting, even that owner of the Nets, his name is Joe Mai, I believe. He said something that's almost disturbing. He's like, 1.4 billion people, Chinese people, stand in unison of no separatism. I'm like, yo, 1.4 billion people in unison for anything? You're talking about Big Brother. That's some real Big Brother speak right there. Yeah. The idea that 1.4 billion China just all have this same opinion. So pretty much saying, Daryl Morey, you're wrong. What you said goes against the Chinese people. And all Daryl Morey said is like, yo, these people are being oppressed. He's not saying, yeah, Hong Kong, you know, we want China to lose their territories. They're saying, hey, these protesters are fucking suffering human rights violations.
Yeah.
Stand in unity with them. So this is really scary. And as an NBA fan, it's a side of the game that I don't think a lot of people wanted to see. But it's interesting when business and human rights and things of that nature all come together into something like this. So,
and business always wins, unfortunately.
That's what it's looking like, unfortunately. It's, you know, it reminds me of Jordan in the 90s. They wanted him to support, like, a Democratic candidate, and he said, Republicans buy sneakers, too. That was his quote.
Huh.
So he didn't take any political stances. James Harden, the star player of the Houston Rockets, came out and said he regretted the tweets and that he loves the Chinese people and he loves China, so he was protecting his image, his brand, his money that he's making.
Yeah.
So you have to keep
What's
that.
What's his name? Was going over to North Korea.
Oh, Dennis Rodman. Yeah.
So, all right. I think that's a show. We've definitely been going for over an hour. We've discussed some great subjects. Do we have any final plugs? Any final thoughts?
This Thursday, October 10th, 7 p.m., The Nest, I'll be telling a story. All true.
Please, if you're in Columbus listening to this, Nicole is amazing. Go meet her. Go listen to her story. She's one of my favorite people. She is way too modest and way too humble and doesn't fully realizing how amazing she is.
So I love to tell her every chance I get. 100% too.
Do you? It just wafts off of her.
Yeah, it does.
Wafts.
Wafts.
Take a
anywhere.
Shower, Nicole.
I know. Sorry.
It wafts. Awesomeness wafts.
Change my deodorant.
Shotgun, do you have any plugs? I know how much you love
the
plugs.
Oh, yes. You can look me up on the Google. I'm all over the place. And,
he has a podcast.
I have a big podcast, and I got a big interview coming up with a big Canadian band.
What is their name? Can we know the name of the
Nickelback?
Band?
Nickelback.
Their name is,
Mike would never do that.
I don't know if I could talk. No, it's not Nickelback. Standards. I didn't know Nickelback was Canadian. They're called the Michael Cera Fan Club. Which is my first point.
That should be good.
Which I said the first point was, I was like, you've taken the name of like a fan club. When you Google your name, your band is like the third page on Google. But that's something we'll bring up on the interview.
I look forward to that.
Criticizing the people I interview. I'm not nice. But anyway.
I look forward to that.
Nice.
Slumberjacks, you gave some plugs earlier. Do you have anything else for us?
No, that's pretty much it. Follow me, DJ Business at Manila Wafer Productions, LLC on Facebook. Follow Slumberjacks on Facebook for news of our next show. We're going to be in a couple improv wars coming up, and possibly another show will squeeze in at the end of the month for Halloween.
Love it. I got my Halloween costume today. I won't spoil it just yet, but it's exciting.
And I'm impressed. You definitely really put some solid investments in this, and I think you're going to pull off an awesome costume.
And I think I just have the stature to really pull something like that off.
Absolutely.
Menacing Brock Lesnar. I have a plug, Smart Babies this Friday, Franklinton Fridays at 7 p.m.
Great show. Great show. Donut Sunday will be there. Smart Babies, hilarious. You got to go see them. A great venue. I think Franklin's Friday says free beer and donuts, too.
Free beer and donuts. Zach Kelly was on the podcast, and he let us all know about the free beer and donuts. That'll be this Friday. All right, we're wrapping up. My guest is looking at his phone. He's itching to leave. I want you to like this podcast. Listen to it, share it with your friends, subscribe, go to www.cointelbro.net. We have pretty much every platform available for you to listen. You can follow us on Instagram at Cointelbro Agency. Until episode 18, it's been a pleasure. Goodbye, my dolls.